WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With the polls not budging from virtual ties in the battleground states, Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump are campaigning full tilt this final weekend before it's all over. Both had stops in Wisconsin. Vice President Harris trying to pull independents toward her.
I pledge to always put country above party and self, and to be a president for all Americans.
Former President Donald Trump appealing to his base.
We're leading just about, I think, all seven swing states we're leading. But don't listen to me now. Don't listen. Just pretend we're one down, right? We're 1 point down, please. We don't want to say, oh, we don't have to vote today, Alice, because he's leading. No, don't do that.
The Supreme Court rejected a Republican bid to block the counting of provisional ballots cast in Pennsylvania by voters who may have made technical mistakes on mail-in ballots.
Justice Alito, joined by Gorsuch and Thomas, said that this ruling was largely procedural and that he took no position on the election law issues, signaling that the Supreme Court doesn't want to wade into controversial election cases if it can stay out.
CBS's Catherine Cole reporting. In a Louisville, Kentucky federal courtroom, a late-night guilty verdict for a former police officer involved in the botched raid that killed Breonna Taylor. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper reports it's the first conviction in the case.
Former Kentucky Police Detective Brett Hankison fired 10 shots into Breonna Taylor's glass door and windows during the 2020 raid of her apartment, but didn't hit anyone. Some shots flew into a next-door neighbor's adjoining apartment. Hankison argued throughout the trial that he was acting to protect his fellow officers after Taylor's boyfriend fired on them when they broke down Taylor's door. The excessive force conviction against Hankison carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, says she's grateful to God.
It took a lot of patience. It took a lot of time. 1,694 days.
Some members of the jury were in tears as the verdict was read. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Striking Boeing workers will begin voting on a new contract offer Monday.
The latest offer from Boeing includes a 38% wage increase and a $12,000 bonus if ratified. Many machinists on the picket line say they'll still vote no on the deal and they're ready to continue their strike.
I knew the strike was coming and I prepared for it, so I'm going to reject it.
Union leaders fear if workers do reject the deal, future proposals will offer less. Machinists will vote Monday, one day before another big vote for a new president and new labor policies. Luke Ducey, CBS News, Seattle.
South Carolina has executed Richard Moore for the fatal shooting of a store clerk. There had been a broad appeal from clemency, including the judge, at his trial. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. One thing that's not a top headline in this election is our national park system. But conservationists want you to think about it when you fill out your ballot. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the national scenic trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows mid-30s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs to the upper 50s. Cloudy with passing showers Sunday, high mid-50s. More rain around for Monday, even a few rumbles of thunder, highs mid-60s. Currently 40 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lierley join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you today. We have Dan Schaefer. We'll be here from the Recombobulation area and also Civic Media's political analyst.
Editor.
That too. He will be here at 10:33. There's a new poll out, the last poll before the election from Marquette University. We'll talk some numbers. Kyle Kilborn, after 11 o'clock, he is running against Tom Tiffany in the North Woods. See how that race is going.
Yeah.
I know that Tom Tiffany has raised quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Kyle Kilborn and see how he is feeling about the state of the race. We'll wrap it all up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." If you ever have a thing that should not be, share it with Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And of course, Tuesday, it's 4 days away. 4 days away to Election Day. Make sure you are a voter. Make sure you're a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be a voter.
Be a voter. And join us then Tuesday evening starting at 6 o'clock for Civic Media's special election night coverage. We will have insight and analysis you're not going to find anywhere else. We have many, many people who are going to be on hand for this. So I hope you can join us for the results as they start coming in Tuesday night starting here at Civic Media at 6 p.m. We wanted to kick off the show, though, with yet another acknowledgement that we have the least productive state legislature possibly in the country.
Yeah, we
got to be right up there with not getting things done.
Jane, I'm going to need you to keep your voice down. They're currently going in their 9th month of their 10-month vacation.
Oh, we don't want to bother them.
So they're napping right now.
A great article in today's Wisconsin Public Radio from reporter Danielle Kading. Headline reads, "The DNR has been without a secretary for a year. Former agency leaders say that is a problem."
Yeah.
Now, I remember when Governor Evers was elected to his second term a couple of years ago. And at that point, he had over 150 appointees to these boards that our state legislature wouldn't even give hearings to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like they don't want to make sure that things get done in Wisconsin.
It's almost as if they enjoy not getting things done, between like the gavel in, the gavel out, sitting on money that should be used on the people and programs. It's like they get enjoyment out of gridlock and I'll say it, hurting the Wisconsin people.
This is the longest the DNR has been without a secretary in more than two decades. Former DNR Secretary George Meyer saying he can't recall any significant gap in the office in more than 50 years. More than 50 years.
Yeah.
Wisconsinites are very conservation-minded.
Mm-hmm.
We love our outdoors. We love our natural resources. I think that's one of the things we can certainly all agree on. And yet, we don't want to have given Governor Evers a win, I guess. It's all about preventing a win.
No, yeah. It's about giving him a win. And also, you know, we may be a conservation-minded people here in Wisconsin, but I will say that the GOP is, in Wisconsin at least, is not very conservation-minded. They're very willing to give away land to businesses. They're not going to make companies who poison our waters with PFAS admit to wrongdoing.
Right.
It's they don't really care that much. I mean, hey, they might want to even, like, you know, mine and put big buildings up in the Apostle Islands too. We'll talk about more about that later.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. According to Meyer, again, who was a former DNR secretary, he says the years-long vacancy is at the heart of a political battle between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the GOP-controlled Senate, which has rejected 21 of Evers' appointees. They include 8 appointees that they fired last fall, as well as Evers' appointee to the Public Service Commission in January. Now, I understand that that is their position. They can reject these appointees, mm-hmm. but I question whether or not they have the grounds to reject these appointees, other than saying that Governor Evers suggested them.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like you can do it without any sort of justification. And if that's the case, then yes, this is spiteful. This is vengeful and it's petty.
Republicans hold a 22-10 majority in the Senate with one district vacant. Democrats are hoping to gain seats now that we have new maps, and that will make some districts more competitive. Scott Hassett, also another former DNR secretary, says the governor may be waiting until after the election with the deck reshuffled and it becomes more optimistic about getting someone confirmed. This, to me, also, though, reinforces how important all these down ballot races are.
Correct.
It's not just the two at the top of the ticket. It's not just the presidential race. It's not just the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. It's all of those down ballot races. Mm-hmm. Keep this in mind, folks, if you haven't voted yet.
Yeah.
Do we want things to get done in Wisconsin? Do we want money that has already been approved to address PFAS, to address the hospital closings in western Wisconsin? Then maybe we should vote a different way this time. Instead of for some of these guys, and they're mostly guys, who have been in their office for too long.
Yeah, they got into office maybe when all the maps were redrawn. And they haven't had to do a lot of work because they don't have to get votes because they don't get challengers or whatever. But let's vote people in. And this goes to all parties who want to work together and get things done.
And that means giving up some things.
That's compromise. It's not a scary word. It's not a bad word. It's not a soft word. It's important.
That's how things get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we move forward. That's how we make progress.
Yep.
Is by bartering. That's the deal.
Yeah. Make sure you know who's on your ballot. Make sure who's running for your offices locally. That's where the work gets done.
And again, if you have any questions about who your representatives are, if you haven't gone to cast your vote yet, you can go to civicmedia.us/vote. You can also go to myvote.wi.gov and find out. All you have to do is plunk in your address. All of the information will come up, including all of your representatives, as well as their phone numbers.
Yes. Another aspect of myvote.wy.gov is your clerk's office. Look where your clerk is. If you have any questions, we suggest at this point now giving them a call.
Absolutely.
Because every municipality can be different. When they take their ballots, where they take their ballots, what time they close, the last day for voting. It's best to call those clerks today before the weekend, because they might not even be open Saturday or Sunday.
Exactly.
And get all the information you need through them directly. Don't listen. Just talk to them. Just talk to them.
Yeah, talk to your municipal clerk that they know, and that's why they're there, is to answer your questions.
Yeah.
According to this article again in WPR, and we're talking about the lack of a secretary at the head of the DNR, it's been over a year because Wisconsin Republicans just don't want to work. Republican lawmakers say they've approved the vast majority of Evers' appointees, confirming 579 of them since 2019. But there are currently 175 appointees still awaiting Senate confirmation. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu did not respond to a request for comment. After they fired Evers appointees last fall, LeMahieu said in a statement they were unqualified to serve.
Devin LeMahieu, he's a guy who doesn't really know what his job is, actually. He said with regard to, I believe it was the vote on allowing municipalities to start counting their ballots during the day. He didn't bring it up. It was a bipartisan bill passed the assembly, heading to the House or to the Senate, and it wasn't even brought up for a vote. And when asked why, Devin LeMahieu said, "That's not my job. What's my job? Supposed to do it?" Yes, that's your job.
That's not his job.
That is absolutely your job, Devin LeMahieu. You're holding things up, and now we get to deal with on Tuesday night people saying, "What about the ballot dumps? Why does everything take so long?" Because the state not only didn't pass the law, but they passed a constitutional amendment saying that you can't have help either.
Right.
So, yeah, here we are.
Well, and again, when we start hearing all these bogus reports of cheating, when ballots start coming in late at night and the count starts to change later in the evening as more ballots come in, you can thank Devin LeMahieu.
Yep.
You can thank the Republicans in the Wisconsin Senate. Carmela from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Carmela. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
It's interesting that you brought up about like down ballots, because I was actually thinking about asking this question. I voted early and I noticed down ballot that virtually everyone was unopposed and they were all Democratic. And I was actually a little pleasantly surprised by that. And I was going to say, can you ask like one of your political experts about this? Is that a good sign? Do you think it has to do with the remapping? I don't know. I was just curious about that. And I realized that it's just, I'm in Milwaukee County and it may be different throughout the state.
I think it is. Yeah, I hear you, Carmela. Thank you for that. And we can ask Dan Schaefer about that. But I think, especially in Milwaukee County, I'm not surprised that they didn't have any challengers.
In Kenosha, too, we had a bunch of unchallenged. It was a lot of, and this doesn't have to do with the maps if there are things like the clerk and the district attorney. The maps have to do with the state senate and the assembly. But, yeah, like in Kenosha, tons of unopposed people who are Democratic running for small, small offices because no one runs for them.
Well, and again, it takes a lot of dedication to run for office. Thank you, Carmela. I hope you're doing well, and thank you for listening. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of thick skin.
Well,
when you look at some of the attack, we talked about this. Yes, this attack ad against Luann Byrd just makes me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running for state assembly or state senate, governor, the federal ones, I get that. But when you're running for city clerk, first of all, it should not be an elected official. It should be appointed by the mayor. You shouldn't have attack ads run on you for just wanting to run the clerk's office.
No, you really shouldn't.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yes.
Yes. So, but here we are, four days away.
Remember this. If we want to get things done, maybe it's time to vote for some change as you head into the voting booth. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Newt Gingrich has thoughts.
Great. Can't wait.
We'll share those next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Do a little chair dancing on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, rather, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Going to break down the latest poll from Marquette University. And there's another poll out there that I think we should talk about. It's called Polymarket. It's actually not a polling firm. It's a betting company. But counting on the results of an election by following a company where you place bets seems like a complete sure thing to me.
It sounds like where thruples go to find their dates.
So we will be kicking that around after the 10:30 news. But I wanted to come back to this. We spent some time talking about this with the WIS Dems chair, Ben Wickler, yesterday. There is an ad out. One is voiced by Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. One is voiced by George Clooney. And we also had an ad that we got a couple of weeks ago.
Totally legitimate.
Totally legitimate, completely real super PAC.
Yes.
But it's kind of the same message.
Yeah.
Very much the same message. Yeah. So, Calvin, if you don't mind, let's play clip number one, please. This is that Julia Roberts ad that you might be seeing on TV.
Your turn, honey.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose, you can vote any way you want, and no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Waltz.
Well, when this hit and the outrage among some of the right-wingers, Charlie Kirk, and the meltdown has just been a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah. This is Jesse Waters.
The destruction of the family and the ultimate betrayal. And oh my God, they're telling people to lie to their spouses. Of all people to check in on this.
Yeah.
Here's former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Calvin, that's clip number two.
I mean, how do you run a country where you're walking around saying wives should lie to their husbands? Husbands should lie to their wives. I mean, what kind of a totally amoral, corrupt, sick system have the Democrats developed? If you think about it at that level, it is astonishing.
Yeah, Newt, you know what's kind of astonishing? Is that you have a pretty well-established record of infidelity. He's on his third wife.
Yeah.
He cheated on his second wife with his current wife.
Hmm.
And granted, he has admitted, you know, I'm a flawed person. Not everyone is perfect. And I absolutely get that. I do. We are all flawed. We all have character flaws.
Yeah.
It's the hypocrisy.
Yes.
That drives me crazy. How dare Newt step out as the arbiter of all that is moral? Come on.
Yeah.
Well,
and same thing with like Jesse Waters lost his head about it too, saying that it was tantamount to
having an affair,
which is funny for a guy who had an affair with his first wife.
Yeah, I mean,
And like once again, nobody's perfect. And if one of these guys said, "Look, I'm no moral leader, and I've made mistakes, but this I don't believe is correct," okay, there's another conversation. But to just pass yourself off without any sort of flaw, it's ridiculous. And honestly, I was going to say this yesterday, we didn't have time, is I'm seeing pushback on social media about these ads too, especially the Lincoln Project one, where it's the two husbands who are like, you know, she's voting the right way.
Right.
And then they don't, they wink and whatever, saying that these ads make it seem like women don't have the ability to vote how they want to vote. Well,
in some cases, that's true.
In some cases, they don't. And if you're not in one of those relationships and you don't know anyone, good for you. That's great that you have an open, loving relationship. And if you disagree on candidates and you can talk about it, fantastic. But that doesn't mean that there aren't women out there, or maybe even children of voting age out there, who are being told who they have to vote for and feeling pressured because they feel like, my God, that one lady we talked about in Georgia, 81 years old, voted for the first time because her husband said your vote wouldn't count.
He didn't want her to vote.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people out there in situations where they're having their rights, their voices suppressed. And these ads are telling them, no, you get to do what you want in that voting.
You can vote your conscience.
I love that line, in the one place where a woman can still choose.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true. And just a little reminder, in case you've forgotten, while we're talking about good old Newton
Leroy Gingrich.
Newton Leroy Gingrich.
Wow!
While he was leading the impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton for lying about fooling around with Monica Lewinsky, at the same time, Newt was having an affair. When he was later asked if he considered himself to be living in a glass house, he reluctantly agreed, but defended himself by saying, I think you have to look at whether or not people have to be perfect in order to be leaders. I don't think I'm perfect. I admitted I had problems. I admitted I sought forgiveness. Just admit you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
That'd be a real good place to start.
That's the thing, is like, people make mistakes. Come forth and say something.
I don't have a problem with that.
Not one bit. And in fact, if anything, the respect will be there for you to put yourself on the line.
And my biggest takeaway from all this, I was watching MSNBC yesterday, and they also talked about these freakouts from Charlie Kirk and Jesse Waters about, my wife might lie to me about how she's going to vote. And Nicole Wallace on MSNBC said, men think women never fake anything. Boom.
Well, and also Jesse Waters said that this is the same as having an affair. And he got so heated about it that I think it was Maria Bartiromo said, are you intimidating her?
Yeah.
Like,
and then they had to go to break.
Yes. Listen to your words, gentlemen. Listen to what you are saying. You think that your comfort is more important than her right.
Hypocrite much?
Lots, Newton Leroy.
News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here. We'll do some recombobulating. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the statewide, countrywide, potentially globally on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Me in a state of shock. Look at that. Look at
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The major presidential candidates returned to the eastern battleground states from their western trips, both visiting Wisconsin to kick off the final weekend of the campaign, their planes parked near each other at the Milwaukee airport. Former President Donald Trump.
So get everyone you know, you have to do it. You have to vote, vote, vote. We're going to win this thing, and we're going to win it big, and I'd love to win it right here. I'd love it.
Vice President Harris.
He is constantly about trying to have Americans point their fingers at each other, but that's not who we are.
More than 65 million Americans have already voted. CBS's Catherine Cole tells us the Supreme Court has stopped a Republican attempt in Pennsylvania to not allow voters who made a mistake on their mail-in ballots to have a second chance.
The Supreme Court issued a ruling that will allow Pennsylvania voters who failed to put their mail-in ballots in secrecy sleeves to still cast their votes by way of a provisional ballot.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers take on Iowa. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, it's Wisconsin against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at Kinnick Stadium. Both teams 5-3. Kickoff a little after 6:30. NBA, the Bucks are at home against the Cavaliers tonight, trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard says when he was with the Trailblazers, he'd just take over games. How hard is that now?
It's hard because, I mean, my entire career, I've always been somebody who, if I can do one thing, I can take over. You know, I think I've joined a new team and the situation is different. I understand it is different, so I have to try to, you know, find a way to not just go back to what I've always done because it's probably not always necessary. So I think that's probably the most difficult part is like when things seem like it's getting out of control or the going is getting tough, you know, I'm able to put my hands on a little bit more. And I think just not being in that role is, you know, it's a little bit more difficult.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows mid-30s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs to the upper 50s. Cloudy with passing showers Sunday, high mid-50s. More rain around for Monday, even a few rumbles of thunder, highs mid-60s. It's 39 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins me. We will preview the election on Tuesday. Plus, what's the right way to deal with election stress? I got answers. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every Friday so we can do a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Jane. How are you guys doing today?
I think we all feel the same. Greg and I are sharing many deep sighs. With 4 days to go before Election Day. So let's start with talking about
four days to go in Election Day. We're in political media. We're in Wisconsin. It's a lot.
It
it's
is a lot,
Jane and Greg.
There's a lot going on. So let's start off with talking about the latest poll from Marquette University.
That's right. As I always do at the recombobulation area, I did an in-depth breakdown of the latest results of the Marquette University Law School poll. Lots of interesting takeaways. I encourage you to go take some time to give this a read. But we know at the top of the ticket, it's a toss-up. We know it's Wisconsin. We know it's close. You know, Harris up by one. Baldwin is up by two. You know, those are both within the margin of error. This could certainly go either way. But I think within the poll, there were some really interesting things that jumped out. And one of the things that the Marquette poll did this time was group the last four polls together so that we have like kind of a larger sample size of what's happened. Because since Harris has entered the race, not a whole lot has changed in the four polls that Marquette has taken since she entered the race. And so, you know, given that dynamic, we have a little bit of a larger sample to see, you know, where things are headed, where the vote choice is. You know, among different demographic groups, there are a number of interesting charts that they put out. But I think within this, there is a really huge gender gap in a number of different ways, and a gender gap that was specific to certain generations, too. And this is one of the things that I posted about in my recap on Twitter, and it has gone super viral. It's been like one of my most engagement on any tweets that I've had. But this one is specifically about Generation X. And the gender gap in the politics among Gen X. So Gen X has been identified as the most pro-Trump generation in Wisconsin, but by a fairly considerable margin. I think, you know, most people would think the boomers.
Yeah,
the
blame
older
it on the
folks,
boomers.
Yeah. but actually, the age group of 45 to 59-year-olds in Wisconsin have consistently polled, and not just the recent polls, not just Harris Trump, have consistently polled as the most Republican-leaning generation. So the way they break it down in the Marquette poll is 18 to 29. So I think we can, you know, refer to that group as Gen Z. 30 to 44, that is the millennials. 5 to 59, those are Gen X. And then 60 and above, the boomer generation. And it is striking that how Republican-leaning Gen X really is.
Is that for both men and women?
Well, that's where the key divide is there, Jane. The men favor Trump in this poll, in these four polls grouped together by a 36-point margin.
Wow.
In that 45 to 59 range. That men in Gen X, that is like the most pro-Trump of any age group. But the women of Gen X, the huge divide here, the women of Gen X favor Harris by a 14-point margin. That's actually more pro-Harris than the millennials, than millennial women. So, and millennial men let me just make sure I have this correctly. Millennial lean Trump only by an 8-point margin. So you have Gen X men significantly more pro-Trump than millennial men, and then pretty similar numbers, millennials and Gen X among women who favor Harris.
It's
pretty wild, isn't it?
It is. And I'm, honestly, I'm not super surprised that Gen X men, and we're seeing comments in the live stream saying, well, that's not true. It's polling. It's a sample. It's what the information found out. We're not here to like, I'm not disputing what they do over there, but I'm honestly not surprised that Gen Xers men are pro Trump. I mean, we're in our 40s and 50s now, and guys can get, you know, grouchy and complainy and don't like being told what to, they didn't like being told what to do when they were 20, when the boomers were saying things about them. I don't know. I just, there's probably a much more deeper psychological reason why, but Dan, when you give us that information, it just doesn't hit me as a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there is, you know, a certain aspect of like kind of growing up in the Reagan years or whatever it might be, having that just kind of like baked into your political psyche of that type of mentality towards politics that is hard to shake. You
it,
know,
might, it might be a thing of like, and my old man was right.
And maybe people, you know, grew up, maybe a lot of men were watching The Apprentice or something like that too, and might have a different view of Donald Trump because of it, right?
Well, this leads us to a conversation we had earlier in the week about this obsession with alpha and beta males. And if Donald Trump is the definition and the best example of an alpha male, what I take away from that is an alpha male is always right, never takes responsibility for anything, is a bully, punches down,
hypersensitive,
and insulting.
Mm-hmm. Now that's the true alpha. That's the sign of a real alpha
right?
male, isn't it?
Yeah. But that. And I find it amazing that Gen X men are less cranky than boomer men. That's shocking to me.
Less cranky.
Less cranky. Or more, that Gen X men are more cranky than
more
than,
cranky.
Yeah, more cranky than.
Yeah, it's interesting. The boomers, there's a much more narrow, you know, gulf between in the gender divide there. Like men in the 60 plus generation favor Trump by 4%. Women favor Harris by 7%. So it's much closer in the oldest generation that is in the poll compared to the youngest. Now, I will note here, too, that the 18 to 29-year-olds, it's a pretty even split among men for Trump and Harris. For women, it is not an even split. 36-point margin for women under 30 years old favoring Kamala Harris. And I think that is what I want to get, what I want to talk about, too, is if there is such striking numbers for women in the polling of this race between Harris and Trump. And I think it is, you know, it is especially striking in the suburbs. You know, they break this down by region as well. And for, you know, suburban areas in and around Milwaukee, Waukesha County was like voting Republican by like 40-point margins as recently as like 10 years ago in Waukesha County. That's not the case anymore. And now in the suburbs, and this includes Dane County suburbs too, so that might be pulling the numbers a little bit further towards Democrats. But women in the suburbs favor Harris by an 18-point margin. And I think those numbers with women are really overwhelming and really hard to deny. And it's women under the age of 30, women in the suburbs, and college-educated women in particular favor Harris by a 36-point margin. And I think that is, you know, after the Dobbs decision, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, this being the first presidential election with that, and the way that that has, you know, just been one of the major events of the last 4 years in American politics, I don't think women are going to forget that when they go to the polls this year. And I think we might be underestimating just how just the turnout among women and just the enthusiasm among women for this election, for Kamala Harris, especially in kind of a post-Dobbs America.
I want to make it perfectly clear. I never underestimated any of the women. I've always believed in the women.
former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said that they're going to forget about this. Women are going to forget about the abortion thing. It's all fine. It's all good. Yeah, we're not forgetting.
No.
Sorry, that's kind of stuck with us, the whole bodily autonomy thing. I don't know, it makes some of us a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at this election, it is a toss-up. Anyone who tells you they have the end of where this election is going to go, either way, you know, that they're wrong, because this, either candidate could win. This is not a clear pro-Harris poll. This is not a clear pro-Trump poll by any of the stretch of the imagination.
And that just reinforces Trump, how important it is that everyone go cast a vote. Mm-hmm. Go cast
Absolutely.
Your ballot.
But the point that I made in my breakdown is that if it does come to pass that Donald Trump loses again and Kamala Harris wins in Wisconsin, it will be because of the women of the state. It will clearly be because of the women of the state of Wisconsin who will have interest to vote for Kamala Harris and vote against Donald Trump.
I think it's going to be like, in in 2020 when Georgia went for Joe Biden, the credit was going to basically black women who came out and voted in droves. This is going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, people are saying, you know, we got people in the comments right now saying, you know, when are we going to start looking at it from a point of view of polling doesn't really give us a clear idea because
polls don't vote.
They don't vote. But also, you know, something that you said, Jane, off the air was that, you know, it can be a 50-50 split. But then there are people out there who aren't getting polled, who are not giving the information, because in 2016, people didn't say they were voting for Trump because they didn't want to get ostracized. Now I feel like there are people out there who say they're voting for, and this is not a, it's a gut feeling, people. It's intuitive thinking. They're saying they're going to vote for Trump or not saying anything, and they're going to vote for Harris because it's just gone too far.
Yeah. There are people, I think there is some Trump fatigue. There are some people who are just exhausted after 8 years of this man being the dominant political figure in American politics. And I think that is certainly going to be a factor. But, you know, again, it's super close. I cannot overstate how close this is. And if there is a polling miss, like like you mentioned in 2016, then Donald Trump's going to win. But I just don't think that the environment is the same now that it was in 2016. And I think the shift with women, and it's not just that women are voting more for Democrats, because that's always been the case. But if you look around the state of Wisconsin, the trends that have happened that have shaped the politics in our state for the past few years that have driven Democratic victories in 14 of the last 16 statewide elections, I don't think those trends are slowing down with women. I don't think the Trump campaign has prioritized bringing women into the tent of the Republican Party really at all. They've been trying to get more of these what political science dorks like myself call the low propensity voters, people who might not necessarily vote in the midterms, might not vote in their local elections, might only want to vote for Trump. Get them to turn out for Trump. But I think that there's just such an overwhelming trend in the suburbs with women, with college educated women in particular, that do think there is, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, I would rather be in the Harris camp than the Trump camp for Wisconsin right now.
Well, and we are seeing more stories come out about women who are dying, women who had pregnancies they wanted. There's another one. The story just broke today. She went to the emergency room 3 times. She was rejected 3 times, and now she's dead. And women aren't going to forget that. Nor should we.
I
think if there's any factor that's going to be underestimated right now, it is the dedication of women to vote in this election.
I think if the Republicans are going to do anything for themselves, they should really take their own advice from the past 2-3 election cycles where they didn't get the red wave they wanted and actually do the work, which is a ground game, talking to the people, knocking on doors, because that's what they say they need to do. They need to open, as you said, Dan, open that tent up, bring in more people, not just one or two examples of, hey, we're not sexist and racist. You got to get out there and knock on those doors and talk to people. And they just never, ever get it through their brains.
But that's because I think they cannot defend so many of these positions. No. I just don't think that they have a strong defense for this. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, our political
editor.
And the author of The Recombobulation Area. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on this Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxed weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody
combobulate me? You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico, you're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the
You got Amish. Oh, you got an update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 93.5 The Tap and the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelby on the board. Coming to you from Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, an hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Great Cheese Caper Edition. Stick around for This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up around 11:51. Dan Schaefer is here. He's the Civic Media political editor and also the author of The Recombobulation Era. We were talking about the latest polls as we are only 4 days away from Election Day. Dan, are you familiar with Polymarket at all?
Oh, you're muted, Dan.
I'm back now. Okay. Sorry about that. But yes, I am familiar with Polymarket to a certain degree. I am not a gambler myself.
Well, and that's it. I keep seeing things on my social medias. Polymarket is predicting a Donald Trump blowout by 63% and blah, blah, blah. It's a betting site. This is not a polling company, people.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, Americans cannot bet on this site.
That's my understanding of it as well.
So outside money, outsiders, people outside of the U.S. are betting on the outcome of the U.S. election. And we have some people here that are using this as what is going to be the determining factor. Don't count on a gambling website for accurate information about results. That just seems, I don't know, somehow unwise.
Yeah, I would not use that particular data. There's a lot of good data out there. I would not consider that to be good data. And I think the thing that I like about that poll and why I write about it over and over and over again is they are so transparent with their data. There's like rankings of the different pollster sites, and Marquette ranks as the number one best in the country for transparency. So they put so much data that, you know, they get beyond just the head-to-head, they get into the issues, they get into the crosstabs, look at the details all up and down the ballot. But it's really transparent, and that's why I've written about it that I have at the Recombobulation Era, and why I think it is an especially valuable poll for Wisconsin.
But again, the Franklin poll, that poll has been around for a very long time, as you said, Dan. It's very well established, and it's credible. Anybody, because I asked you about this a couple weeks ago, anybody, if they want to, can start a polling company. You can have Stan and Dan's America Integrity Polling, and they only talk to five people, and then they publish the results that get picked up by some podcaster who has no experience but just decides to platform that. So you want to take some of these, all of these polls that are going to be coming out in the next couple of days, take them with a real big grain of salt. And don't forget that polls don't vote, and street sign or yard signs don't vote. People vote.
People vote. And that really, that was Charles Franklin's closing message, as it always is in the final and the final Marquette University Law School poll. Polls don't vote. People do. You have the power to decide the outcome.
Absolutely. You still got a couple of days if you're going to vote on Election Day. It is next Tuesday. You can still vote early. If you have questions about who is representing you, where you need to go to cast your ballot, go to civicmedia.us/vote. That's also where you can find Dan's great voter guide that breaks down all of the races all across Wisconsin. It's extremely detailed. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to myvote.wy.gov. And just a reminder to please be nice to the poll workers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're They're doing us an enormous service. And from different things I've been seeing from different parts of the country, there are some wackadoodle things going on. Most places don't allow you to wear a Harris Walls hat or a Trump Vance hat or any stuff like that. If they ask you to take it off, just take it off and be nice about it.
Just wear your Packer jersey. Don't bother with the political stuff there. Whatever.
No Aaron Rodgers jerseys, though.
Yeah.
Not in my polling place.
Or Brett Favre.
Or I guess Brett Favre, yeah. So in the last couple minutes that we have here, I want to plug something that will be published soon at the Recombobulation Area that is a very big project that I've been working on for a number of weeks now. I'm writing a feature story about politics in the Fox Valley. I'm a UW Oshkosh graduate. I have a lot of family in and around the Fox Valley, and I think it's a really important swing region of the state. So I spent some time there, talked to a lot of the candidates, and I think part of it is part of the politics of the region is not just that it is swingy for the top of the ticket. You know, we know that both candidates have been to Green Bay. Both, I think Kamala Harris is in Appleton this afternoon for something. But I think, you know, looking at the big picture, there are kind of these colliding trends. And I think it is a microcosm of what is happening in Wisconsin. And with new maps, there are so many more competitive seats in the area. There's a toss-up state Senate seat in Green Bay, a close seat in the Fox Valley, three toss-up seats in the Fox Valley and Green Bay in the Assembly. You've got the open congressional seat that Dr. Kristen Lierley is running in. You know, there's really a clean slate for a lot of the races there, really a fresh opportunity to find new representation for the area. So subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. That story will be in your inbox in probably within the next 24 hours here. Spend some time with that one.
Another way to look at it, too, is let's give some of our long-term politicians an opportunity to do something new.
To do something new.
It's for them. Yes. We're looking out for them. Yeah. Dan Schaefer is the editor and our political editor for Civic Media. He's also the author of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to see you on Tuesday in Madison, Dan.
I'll be there.
Four days to go. News is coming up next. When we return, Kyle Kilborn will be here to talk about his race against Tom Tiffany. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former 2nd District Congressman Republican Scott Klug and former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Your vote will help save democracy. We discuss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. It has been one of the most unusual presidential campaigns in American history, and we've got CBS News correspondent Christian Benavides to tell us how the two major candidates spent their final Friday night before it ends.
As the race for the White House is entering the final weekend, former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are making their final pitches in Wisconsin Friday night.
I will give a middle-class tax cut to over 100 million Americans. We will enact the first ever federal ban on corporate price gouging on groceries.
I'm thrilled to be back in this beautiful state with thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots. That's what you are. And we have a country that's going to hell, but we're going to turn it around very fast.
Israel launched dozens of intense airstrikes across Lebanon's northeastern farming villages Friday. BBC's Chris Barrow is monitoring that.
The Lebanese government says 52 people have been killed in Israeli strikes on the eastern Baalbek Hermel region. The health ministry said 72 others were injured in the attacks, which took place in quick succession. Lebanon's transport minister says another Israeli strike forced the closure of a border crossing between northeast Lebanon and Syria.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon is deploying more weapons, ships, bombers, and fighter jets to the Middle East.
The Navy ballistic missile defense destroyers, B-52 long-range bombers, fighter jets, and refueling aircraft will help fill the gap that will be left when the USS Abraham Lincoln and its three destroyers